Hello, this is Vivi on 90.8 FM, Radio Campus Grenoble, with English Talk Radio. My guest today is José Antonio Marquez of EMBL and the EMBL Grenoble Marquez team. Good afternoon, Professor, and welcome to English Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and thank you very much for having me here.
It's a pleasure. Today we are talking about your work and discovery of solutions for sustainable agriculture. Tell our listeners how this started.
This starts from my research interest. I have always been interested in understanding how cells perceive the environment and adapt to it. And for this, they use what is called signaling mechanisms, signaling cascades. And one of the most important or more highly studied of such signaling system in plants is the abscisic acid signaling pathway. Abscisic acid is an hormone that controls the response of the plant to adverse environmental conditions like
grow,
like drought or salinity or cold. And it is very important from the applied point of view, but it's also a very interesting system from a fundamental point of view as well.
So the research led to the creation of Cerelixis, an EMBL spin-off?
That's correct. Through my research at EMBL, we were able to uncover the mechanism on how this hormone works. Actually, we found out that this hormone, when it is perceived by certain proteins in the cell, and we obtain the structure of these proteins, and this helps us understand the mechanism by which the cell perceives the presence of this hormone.
Wait, say that again, just a little bit slower. The process when it opens the cell?
Yes. So this work started with the work in my team. We were interested in understanding how plants perceive the presence of this hormone. Mm-hmm. And we actually obtained the structure of the molecule, the protein that actually perceives the presence of this molecule in the cell.
All right, now I understand. Sorry, I'm not up on these things. You have to treat me with kindness.
Sure.
The next question is about the 11 billion, which I'm actually not going to ask him, so don't worry about that. You are listening to 90.8 FM, Radio Campus, Grenoble. So when you talk about molecular understanding, what do you mean?
Well, what we do in my team and in general in the Grenoble unit of EMBL is to try to obtain the atomic structures of proteins, of components of the cell, and it's by looking at these structures that we call molecules that we try to understand how they work. It's like having the blueprints of a mechanism and try to understand how this system works from those blueprints. And that's what we did in this case. We obtained the structure, atomic structure of the protein that controls this process of perceiving the hormone. And once we had this structure, we did not only understand how it works, how this cell uses these proteins to actually perceive external cues.
Can you see it working?
We cannot see it with the eye. We have to build models of it.
Okay.
The dimensions are extremely small.
Yeah.
And it's not something that we can see by eyes. We can do measurements. And for this, we use the European Synchrotron Radiation Facility here in Grenoble. We use very powerful X-rays to sign them into the matter, into these proteins. And from these experiments, we can guess, we can obtain data that after mathematical treatment will give us a model of how these proteins are.
Okay.
But they are so small that it could not be possible to look them by eye. We need to look at them in a computer.
Right. When you've got the right computers.
Yes, we first have to have the right mathematical models, the right software, and then the right computers to look at this in detail, definitely.
Phytostimulants. Explain.
Yes. This is an interesting point that actually is very important for how this new startup has been created. As you may know, most of current agriculture is focusing on pesticides and herbicides that lead to, you know, health issues,
right,
and,
right.
and environmental concerns, yes. that in the end create a
well,
public
concern.
Well,
it's getting rid of them, isn't it?
Exactly. So our approach is different. Our approach is to try to understand how the internal processes of the plant work and try to use molecules that will stimulate those internal processes.
Ah, okay.
And that's what we call phytostimulants.
Okay. And do they always work? I mean, someone else is making those. Or
well,
do they come naturally?
We design them based on the fundamental knowledge
what you
that
want.
We acquire by studying these systems. As I mentioned before, during many years, my research interest has been on understanding how this signaling pathway that helps the plant cope with difficult environmental conditions work. And once we understood how it worked, we could design
there
molecules. Phytostimulants that could help us stimulate the physiology of the plants in these conditions.
So did you have an actual moment when you understood it and understood what you had to do next?
Yes, there are always these eureka moments. I remember this molecule that was so important to perceive this hormone was identified. We knew which gene was encoding it, but we didn't have its structure. And people was a little bit skeptical in the field because it has been claimed that this molecule, so important molecule, had been identified before. And actually, it turned out to be wrong. It was not the right molecule. So when we obtained the structure of this molecule and we saw how the hormone was fitting into a pocket and the changes that this binding was making, that was the eureka moment that we say, yes, we understood it. And then we were sure that this was the bona fide mechanism that was in action in the cells.
That was a big moment.
Absolutely. And at that moment, we realized that we did not only have the information to understand how this works at a fundamental level, but we could also use this information to design small molecules, these phytostimulants, that will help improve the physiology and the responses of the plant to these adverse conditions.
So there were other things gained. It wasn't just one thing. You gained knowledge of other things that you could use.
Absolutely. As I said before, these molecules were proposed as the key molecules activating this signaling important events in the cell. But there was a lot of skepticism. When this study was published, everybody started to, admit that this was the real mechanism, and this led to many other discoveries. And
yes, because once they had that, then they could do their work, and you made it easier for everybody.
Exactly. We inspired others because we, in a way, solved one problem, and people could move forward from that point. On the other hand, we also realized that while this was very important from a fundamental point of view, we could also use it to develop applications in agriculture.
Wow. But that doesn't happen every day. The ordinary work every day comes to a point where you make the success, but it's not every day.
Absolutely. There are many difficult points, and there are many people that has to contribute to the different aspects, particularly a world where not just, which is not based only in fundamental research, but there has been a translation also. Into the field, so you have the people who work in the lab, but we have the specialists from technology transfer that work with us. We have people that have trusted us and our project, and that has provided funding to bring the project to life. So there are many people that have to work together to make this a success.
Yeah. This is not in the script, Jose, but funding. You brought up the word yourself. So we do have drama with funding in science. Sometimes it goes smoothly and well. But as you said, sometimes you work towards something and it's a failure, not because you have failed, but because that particular thing didn't work. So how do you get people to keep giving you their euros if you if you have that? I mean, are they sending you out on the road and do you talk to people?
Yes, absolutely. Finding is very important. And something interesting here is that when we started this project, it started as a fundamental research project. We didn't know that it was going to have this application. So it's very important to provide funds for fundamental science, because if you only fund things that you know are going to work, you are not going to get very far. So we got public funding for the initial steps of this project for fundamental research. And then at some point when we saw that the project would have potential applications, we started to talk with our technology transfer colleagues at the EMBL, and they actually link us with different funding mechanisms that are dedicated not necessarily to fundamental research, but more to translation or applied research. So here we have had to obtain a combination of fundamental research funds, applied research funds. So funding is something that scientists and researchers have to be actively working on all the time, definitely.
Well, we hear about it so often, you know, you feel quite sorry for science. Okay, I've got a €5 piece here. Can I give it to you? You know, but I know that ultimately there are people out there that look for you, that know you're coming, that say, this is coming up and we're going to give. I mean, they must give you hints. You can't work blank. They must give you an idea that they're going to support you.
First of all, when you get a position at an institution like EMBL, this means that you have a line of work which is interesting, that helps. But then nevertheless, you have to write projects explaining what you want to do and why do you think it is important. And you have to convince many people to give you that funding. So I think, definitely that's a very important aspect.
You have to be charming.
Absolutely. It's and communicate maybe not to the public, but to the funders that want to have very specific information. Yeah.
And they say, oh, no, he's here again.
Yeah, to be a scientist, you have to be resilient and tolerant to frustration, and then keep going and trying again. And it's this perseverance that in the end brings you to the success. Yeah.
Which is all you want. I understand from the press release you'll have some collaboration with other European countries.
Yes, today research is done in a highly collaborative way, and we have to combine many different domains of expertise to be successful. For example, in this project, we were studying this system from a structural point of view, but we were working with a colleague in Lausanne who is an expert in plant science. And then we have been working with experts in agriculture from Greece. And finally, we presented our project to the Bioinnovation Institute in Denmark, who actually provided the funding for the startup. So you can see how this has required collaborations from people in many different countries in Europe. Yeah.
So quite a bit of your time is spent doing that, getting people all together and making sure everyone's on the same page, as they say, and going forward with that. Because, you know, you can't forget old Joe in Denmark or someone in Sweden, because everyone has to bring it to the table at the same time.
Correct. I mean, part of the function of a group leader is to make sure that to bring a vision and help people work around this. And today, luckily, we can work with tools like video conferencing, etc., that help us work even when we are in remote countries. And this is very helpful in this project, but in general, in science, this helps us to collaborate across borders in a much more efficient way.
So you must have translators who are multilingual in science. Now, that's a very interesting concept. Do you have that, or is it the professors and the scientists who are explaining?
Well, in science...
Or does everybody speak English?
Yeah, actually, everybody speaks English these days, pretty much.
I had to throw that one in.
Yes. No, the language for science these days is English, definitely, and it makes things easier to have a common standard, whatever it is, but it happens to be English, and it helps communication because science is about communication and exchanging ideas. Yeah. That's what science is about. Yeah.
Well, I think it would be quite difficult to say to everybody, all right, you've got to learn Danish by Tuesday. I mean, English is something that most people speak. And in science, I would imagine that you're fairly well educated. So you've been listening to it. And what about the books? The texts are written in English.
All we publish is in English. Normally, the scientific journals are normally written in English. This doesn't mean that there are no journals that are written in other languages, but today is mostly written in English. In other times it was Latin, but some time ago, but today is definitely English.
Well, I was teasing you, you know that, but I was just pushing English there because I've heard this so many times, you know, as long as you speak English, you can be in science. And what? I have to speak English? What about my French? Well, French is there forever, but your English is just added on.
Well, French is a beautiful language. I learning when I came in France, and I'm really very happy to use it when I can, but it's true that in science the standard is English. I have given some presentations in French, and I'm happy to do it, but it's more common to have to use English.
Is it more comfortable in English now because you've done it so often?
Words and terms come easier in English than in any other language.
So where are these plants growing? How well do they grow without the vagaries of climate, pesticides and human contamination?
Well, at the moment we are doing our tests in the laboratory, and eventually we are already working with some seed companies that are very interested in testing these phytostimulants that we have developed. As we speak, this week is going to start the first test in a seed company are going to start, and we are working with them to bring in these developments one step closer to application. Yeah.
So you haven't got these great huge plants growing in the lab?
We do have
you
them
do?
In the lab, but absolutely, yeah, definitely.
Like golden color, and they're looking yes. doing well. You go and talk to them every day.
Yes, they are not in my lab in Grenoble. They are in the lab of our collaborators in Geneva. In Lausanne. Sorry for that. And they have incubators, what they call phytotrons, which are these big cabinets they can culture plants. They have the right illumination, the right humidity, control environments where the plants grow very happily.
They have a perfect life.
Definitely.
But they can't come out.
No, they can't.
This is very exciting news for the agriculture people. Are companies involved too? You've said that they are.
Yes, we are working to translate these discoveries into applications. And as I said before, we are already working with companies who are specialists in the field. And eventually, to bring these discoveries to the farmers, you will need contribution of many different actors, including big companies that know how to produce these products in large scale and how to distribute them to farmers efficiently. So there are many actors that have to contribute to bring this to application, definitely.
It's a regular singing, dancing routine company, isn't it? It sounds very, very interesting. Thanks, Jose, for being a guest on English Talk Radio.
Thank you very much.
Goodbye. I was talking today on English Talk Radio to Jose Antonio Marquez of EMBL and EMBL Grenoble Marquez team. I would like to say thank you to Professor Marquez of EMBL. Thanks to Kim Narlin of EMBL. And thanks to Louis.